This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting. This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
To eat chicken tenders in the comfort of my sheets.
Okay, wait. Repeat what you just said. What about crack? We want to know.
When I lived in Bed-Stuy, I lived behind the Fat Alberts that in the movie Notorious B.I.G., he's filmed selling crack in front of that Fat Alberts, and I lived behind it.
And you did what? Oh, you lived there?
I lived in an apartment behind it. I didn't live in the Fat Alberts.
I don't fucking know your journey. I don't know your life. You seem very cultured to me, so it's possible that you did live in the Fat Alberts.
I went from the Third Ward to Bed-Stuy. I loved it.
I loved it. It was so fun. I loved it. You love seeing babies, crack babies, stumble down the street.
There was also a hospital right next to us, too. Oh, my gosh. And it was like, I remember I was not, like, hip to people selling, like, counterfeit makeup. I, like, knew about counterfeit bags.
You mean, like, Elf and Wet n Wild?
No, it was, like, right when the Kylie Lip Kit came out. I was walking to the Walgreens by my apartment, and there was this guy selling Kylie Lip Kits. And I was like, oh, my God, $20? Like, is this real? And he was like, oh, yeah, it's totally real. And my boyfriend at the time was like, are you serious? Like, go inside. Absolutely. No.
You would have used it and your lips would have fell off.
I know. Or, I, you know, just blister.
So, get a little plump with this.
Well, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm so excited and happy. Hi. Welcome to Hear Me, Bitch podcast. I'm Leah Sampson. Today, I have a wonderful, very special guest. I'm so excited she's here. I say this about everyone that gets on this podcast, but no, like, this shit's for real. Please introduce yourself. Get close to the mic so they can hear the moistness of your gums and just talk about what you are.
My name is Anna. And this is ASMR.
My name's Anna. I don't really have, like, anything special about me.
There's everything is special about
but
you.
But
you lived
so
in
excited.
Crack places. You lived where
murders
happened.
I lived behind the Fat Alberts where you could buy crack from in Bed-Stuy.
You, like, you're a hero. That's what the fuck you are.
That
you,
does not make
yes,
a hero.
Yes, you lived a in hero. Third Ward, Houston.
That does not make.
You lived in Third Ward, Houston. You lived in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. And you lived, I know you live somewhere else. People die a lot. Where else?
At Tarrytown.
I don't know, but that shit sounds spooky as fuck. So I believe it. And I was telling Anna the last time I was, because you were talking about, like, because you're from Austin and you were saying that the vibe out here is so different. And it's more, it's like chill, safe, like, you know.
You know, you grow up here and you just feel so safe. Like, you can walk around, like, in the middle of the night and nothing bad happens to you. And then you go to college in Houston in the Third Ward and you have that same mentality and, you know, you get robbed.
Yeah. like, at 3 p.m. It's just
3 p.m. Yes.
You were there.
But I loved it. It prefaced me to move to Brooklyn. And, I mean, look how well that worked out. I'm back in Austin.
Alive with your wallet.
I have all my limbs as well.
Yes, as you should, because I heard bitches with no limbs. Let me stop because
I
have
it. What do bitches with no limbs?
Actually, bitches with no limbs are very good poets.
I heard they were freaks.
Yes, they
are. Do you know how much you could do with a stub?
Absolutely not. I don't, because I have all my limbs, which is why my sex is boring.
Is it?
It depends if I'm awake or not, but I have a few friends that are missing some limbs, and they're very wonderful poets, and yeah, they are freaks, actually, because I feel like...
Wait, what does poetry have to do with a missing limb? I guess
because they talk, they talk about it, and
like
they're
wishing,
just...
wishing, waiting, wanting.
Yeah, and I feel like you have a lot of, like, you know, a lot of them can't do... I'm not gonna say normal, but like, you know, everyday things. So they have a lot of time to themselves to be smarter than us dumb fucks that are too busy getting drunk and That's wasting true. Our legs.
Well, there's, I feel like there's a big shot to your ego if you lose a limb.
Definitely.
So I feel like if I had something like that happen to me, I would find a lot more time on my hands. No pun intended.
This is all love, guys. This is all love. And you know, also, and I think the reason why a lot of people that are missing limbs are such freaks, because I feel like, and I'm just saying this from experience,
you just throw some lube on it and go to town.
And it just happens.
Yeah.
And no one's, I mean, you already know the situation, so why question it and be weird about it? But I think people that have missing limbs are more confident, probably. Like, they're, you know, they're more, I feel like when you have a disability, like, you got to learn to cope with it. You know, you got to learn to like, fuck it. This is what I am. This is what it is. I got asthma. You think I enjoy having to use my fucking Pro Air in between sessions of dick? No, I don't enjoy that shit. But you know what? I don't care. I do not get embarrassed anymore, because one, it shows that I have health care, and two, it is what it is. So I think that's why a lot of people that are missing limbs are freaks, because they're like, fuck it. I ain't got no leg, but this pussy work, like, was good. Like,
that's true.
You know? They're confident.
I have a close friend who was in a hurricane and like a telephone pole.
Oh my goodness.
Fell on her arm.
Oh my goodness.
And the doctor told her parents that she was going to have a baby arm forever.
Oh.
Well, she's fine.
She got mad hoes.
She
probably got
so confident. And of course I don't know if it was because of the possibility of having a baby arm or if, you know.
I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, when some of the most confident, like.
Can I say baby?
You can't. If not, they'll bleep it out. It'll just go bleep arm. And we can just put in our own words. But most of the people, there's this comic. I wish I could like think of his name right now. But he was recently on America's Got Talent, and he has some there's a name for it. But I think both of his arms are kind of like nubs. And he is the funniest mother. He's the most confident, funny motherfucker. And he makes so many jokes about it. He'll even flap his arms on stage, like wing. Oh my gosh, he's amazing. He's so fucking funny. But he's like, dude, he's been like this his whole life. So he's like,
what do you watch that makes you cry? Because when I think about America's Got Talent and American Idol, I will get into like this weird like K-hole of just like watching all of those videos and like crying at like the golden buzzer. Like that shit makes me cry. Veterans Coming Home makes me cry.
That kills me.
When they like surprise. Oh, and then veterans also coming home to their dogs.
Oh yeah, the dogs flip the fuck out. Mm. That's definitely the veteran video thing gets me. And I'm like, I'm so confused about America, but I see that this is love, and it just makes me so happy. pretty much that when they come back home. What else? Did you see the American, the AGT, or America's Got Talent, where the boy that he had autism and he was blind?
No, but I've been meaning to watch it.
If you are going to have to stay at home the whole day if you watch it. Like, it will fuck you
up.
I
am such a baby, dude.
Me
like,
too.
It will take a lot. Like, someone can cuss me out and I'll be like, okay, fine. But like, right. I literally watched somebody press the fucking golden buzzer and I'm like,
he's so inspirational. No, this, you gotta watch it. This boy was blind, and you know what? That's what gets me when I hear stories like that. Of course, it like you feel for the kid that has those disabilities, but I feel for the parents. Like just seeing the mom, like she gave one of those like strong cries. Oh, like, you could tell she's been crying her whole life, and so now she's like
that shit. When you see somebody choking back tears, mm-hmm. I cry for them.
I know, yeah.
I cry for them.
Yeah. And that's what it was. Like, they're like, we're so proud of your son and all that. And everybody else is crying, and his mom is just staring like,
I bet. Just like dabbing like a tiny napkin.
Yeah, right?
In her eyes. Just like, no makeup running, nothing.
No makeup running. Like, I cry when they forget my Chick-fil-A sauce at Chick-fil-A, which is rare. Thing that occurs, but it happens. So for this woman to raise a son that has autism and he's blind and he's insanely talented is an understatement. His bro, if you didn't know anything about him, he sounded like
the link is in the bio.
Oh, yeah, right. I need to add it in my fucking bio. It's amazing. It's, and plus, it, you know, the episode has Miss Gabrielle Union. Shout out to Gabrielle. She's a hero in the young black woman community. She's gorgeous, man. She's just so pretty. Even if she was a piece of shit, she's just beautiful. But she's also a wonderful fucking, from what I see from Instagram, she's a wonderful person and a great actress. But, I'm sorry. Yeah, I hit your leg. I apologize. It's I don't know if it was on purpose or not. We've been drinking mezcal. Fucking mezcal.
You knew where my mind went.
I will start recording these podcasts soon so you can really understand the fuckery that occurs that is just pure gold. But today, I wanted to talk about, as we sip our mezcal, addiction and rehab. We are beating the system today. I wanted to talk about this because, one, this is... Okay, we're going to get close so I can...
Okay.
Not only is this something that, like, many people experience and go through, especially in our age category. I'm 24, and it's 24. It's a real thing, and I just think, you know, it needs to be talked about. I feel like a lot of problems, like with depression and anxiety and different things like that, that people go through and suffer through is because we don't talk to each other. We, you know, have all of our demons and we try to keep it to ourselves and, you know, because we think if we talk about it, then it makes us terrible people. People will think badly of us. But what's crazy, these people are just as terrible as we are. So,
well, the craziest thing is that people think that you can, like, solve depression, anxiety
right.
by, like, maybe, like, a cabbage diet. Like, mm-hmm. you're just eating the wrong things. It's right. like, no. I have, like, a mental... Mm-hmm. I have an imbalance in
yes,
my brain, and
imbalance.
I have
Absolutely.
To take medication. Cabbage isn't going to fucking
Not
cut
at all.
Me.
Or essential oils, okay?
Yes, fuck off.
I am so
stuff.
Tired of...
Like, take your fucking meds. How about that?
Yeah. And it's okay if you take meds. And my thing about... Yeah, lavender is not going to fucking... I'm so tired of people giving me essential oils like orange and yeah. lavender. Like...
Oh, my God.
That shit's going to make my feet soften. That's about it.
Do you smoke weed?
I do.
You can? You're so lucky. It like panic attack.
Okay, so the thing about me when it comes to smoking weed, I do. It depends on where and who I'm with. So I kind of feel you on that.
Mm.
I can't just like blaze one at work or some shit. Like I have to be like in my house or in a you know, like with you maybe, and it's just us.
No, because I would end up in your shower,
well,
having to
that's
do breathing
why we said
exercises.
Your house, so that's oh. your problem. But but you know, like if I'm with a friend that I feel comfortable with, and it's just like us, and we're like in a, I mean, I'm still gonna think the cops are outside, but I don't think they'll come in.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, but it's funny you say that because everybody's whatever chemical imbalance you do have that does spirals your depression or anxiety or paranoia or whatever, it's different for everyone. You know, and like for instance, a lot of people are like, well, you're not smoking enough weed. And I'm like, I can't.
Right.
Like, I will freak the fuck out.
Right, exactly. Like more power to you if that's like what
right.
solves your anxiety. Like, good for you. But it's like, don't assume that it works the same for other people
mm-hmm.
because. That's where, like, med shaming and, like, weird shit goes on and, like, people start internalizing things. And
mm-hmm.
it's just a big issue.
Yeah, I've had people, like, force mushrooms on me. They're like, you just haven't taken the right da-da-da-da. I'm like, bro, I see cartoons and ghosts when I take too many puffs of my inhaler. I already know what the fuck shrooms is going to do to me, and it's not going to be good.
I microdosed shrooms one time.
Yeah.
And it was a great time. I ended up at the strip club. So.
Awesome.
Like, because I had such a good experience that one time, I don't feel like I need to do it again.
Right. And that's
I'm good.
Fine. Whether you do or don't. It's just like, I feel like everybody's diagnosis is different. I have heard things about people saying, oh, well, if you have anxiety or depression, you don't need meds. You need meditation. And with that being said.
It's like a combination.
It's a combination. And it depends on who you are.
Right.
Like, do I think, I am very, I don't know how to say it. I don't know what the politically correct term would be for this. I am pro medication, meaning
no.
like if people need it, then they should take it. But for myself, I'm not.
There's a term like med shaming is what people
yeah,
do
basically.
To other people when
yeah.
they're like telling them like, you don't need that, just smoke weed, or you don't need that,
right.
go vegan. And
right.
like you, everything will like balance out. Yeah. It's med shaming. And it's dangerous.
It is dangerous because then you have people that react in ways that they shouldn't and they end up doing too little or too much. Because, yeah, you know, like, you can't, if you are prescribed a medication and you've been on that medication for a while, it's probably dangerous for you just to go cold turkey and get off of it because your brain has adapted to it.
Well, I mean, this is something personal about me, but I was on an antidepressant that, like, wasn't really working for me. Mm-hmm. And I had, like, I didn't read anything on the internet. I didn't, like, look up the side effects, and that was on me. But I just stopped taking it cold turkey because it was the first antidepressant I'd ever taken. And I didn't know that you had to, like, wean yourself off. And mm-hmm. I felt fucking crazy. Yeah. I went so crazy.
Yeah.
Because I was just not taking it, like, suicidal thoughts.
Of course,
everything,
yeah.
The whole nine. And, oh, my, like, you have to be so in touch with your doctor.
Yes, and the doctor is not Mr. Dr. Webb, okay?
Is that your doctor?
Sometimes when I...
Oh, the web.
You know, what's that website, Dr. Webb? Usually when I, back in my whole days of, like, this itches.
It's like syphilis.
Or just a cold, Anna. Damn.
Don't blame me for your chlamydia scares. I didn't have
scares. They weren't confirmed. But I never had. Not going.
When was the last time you had a Pap smear?
Actually, I am notorious for, like, frequent Pap smears. You're supposed to have one once a year. If I get any kind of weird anything,
I go. You fucking enjoy
it. I sure do. I love being checked out.
Open me up, spread me out.
And check me the fuck out and make sure my shit's correct. I love nice little white lady being like, oh, you have a beautiful cervix.
Oh my God, my woman's Romanian. And, like, I can barely understand what she says, so I just assume I'm fine.
Yeah, right? If she gives you, like, a death stare, then you have syphilis. But no, I love my gynecologist. I talk about her a lot. She's wonderful. She's one of my favorite white ladies. She's awesome. She makes me feel comfortable and.
Oh, I'm like, I'm so bad at getting comfortable.
Yeah, me too. But she does it. She's very honest with me. She's very like, look, Lee, I know you're a comedian and you've had a lot of dicks in you and you had a very prude upbringing, so everything scares the fuck out of you. It's okay. You're
fine.
Wait,
do you? You have a prude upbringing?
Absolutely. Why do you think I'm so crazy now? Like, absolutely. Well,
I didn't have a prude upbringing, and I'm wild.
You had a nice house, though.
What do you mean?
You say you had a nice house growing up, and that kind of...
What does that mean?
That kind of makes you feel like you're better than dudes that you don't need, which is... You know, like, I never felt
wait,
like...
Wait. You need to go more in depth than this.
Oh, and I will. So, hey, look, if I grew up in a nice fucking house, I'd be prude as fuck. I'd be like, look, I don't need dick. I want it. I get it when I want it. I grew up really prude, meaning, like, my mom was like, you can't do anything with man. If you breathe in a man's face, you're going to go to hell. So I was, like, afraid.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my mom was crazy as fuck. I remember one time I hung out. I had a lot of guy friends, and I hung out with one of my dudes, my guy friends, whatever, and literally all we, I mean, he was like a brother, and he was real stupid, so I was never going to, like, be with him.
Oh my God, I thought the story was going to a place where you banged him.
It definitely not. I was like, I'm 17, when I knew mothers at 17. No shade. Totally fine. I couldn't do it. Not mature enough. But I come home, and she's like, you were out with, I saw that dude you were with. You probably were a prostitute and was sucking his dick in his car. And I was like, I looked at her. I was like, he had a dick the whole time? Oh, my gosh. Like, no, what? Like, I just never, I was so, my mom was, oh, my gosh. She raised me. Like, you would think she was a Catholic woman. Like, she, well, I mean, she kind of, I mean, we were Christian, but she definitely has some, like, Catholic views of, like, you can't do this and you can't, you know, you're gonna die if you breathe, if you kiss a boy. So then I became 18, and true story, my mom said that I shouldn't have sex because semen smells like old orange juice.
I mean, I'm not gonna say that's not true.
No, but, you know, that definitely scared the fuck out of me.
But do you know what I've been talking to people about lately? Okay, specifically men. Like, why don't guys try their own semen? It's your product. Try it. Because we try it. Why do you not have to try it?
Well, it's...
Like,
and you know what?
It's like, do some... What is it called when you're doing, like, quality control? Why don't they do that?
I don't know.
Are you writing this down?
No, I got an alert from T-Mobile. I was making sure my shit's not getting shut off. I saw a 1127 number come. I was like, oh, shit, I'm late on the payment. But, you know what? You kind of have a valid point because have you ever been with a dude and he makes you, like, taste your cum?
Okay.
And you do it for the culture?
Okay, this is, like, feminism, okay?
For
no,
sure.
I have no fucking idea what that is.
This goes to rehab and drug addiction, I promise. But
but seriously, like, if, like, a guy eats you out and then starts making out with you, like, we're fine with it, right?
Yeah.
And then there, like, there's obvious, like, juices and stuff happening. But if you're, like, sucking a dick and, like, you get cum in your mouth and you, like, go up to, like, there, like, that never happens.
Right.
And I just, why? Well, actually, what I don't makes know. You so superior well, that you can't taste your own cum, but I can taste my own cum?
Well, I want to agree with you on that, but I've been with dudes where I've, like, sucked him off and he came in my mouth and I kissed him.
Oh, God, I guess I'm just with the worst.
You definitely. Well, I got lucky. I got, like, the boy I'm with now, I hope he's not listening because I don't think they realize that they're doing it in the mouth. Like, I don't think they realize it until, like, 30 minutes later. He's like, my mouth is salty and dry.
No.
But, and you know what? And that's probably why, because girls, we don't have a taste. It doesn't, you know.
Well, that depends.
Bacterial vaginosis.
Oh, my God, I have to tell you. So, this has nothing to
do with. No, say it.
No. So, my first boyfriend actually had a situation where he was dating this girl. They were in high school. She was 18. She went off to Florida. He got his wisdom teeth removed. So he was laying in bed. He was, like, looking up porn to watch because, like, that's what you do, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, in bed.
And he came across a video of his girlfriend, a porn to be specific, and he wasn't the one doing the banging. Can you imagine? Like, he found out she was doing porn.
I'd be like, why the fuck this bitch ain't doing that shit with me? She never did that in our bed.
So the best thing about my ex's ex-girlfriend doing porn is that I got to Google all of her porn videos and, like, see how she had sex and gave head and, like, could just, like, do it better.
But
can you imagine having that window into your ex's life?
Sure. But the thing is, you got to understand, porn stars are actors. So whatever she was
totally.
Whatever she was doing was for the camera. You know, she probably wasn't like that. And, like,
well, I did it for the neighbors down the street.
Okay. Let me try it again. Okay. Something felt wrong about it, but I had to execute it. Well, that sucks. I don't know what the fuck. I couldn't be a porn star. I have a birthmark on my back, and I feel like I'd be exposed immediately. No, seriously. And
tattoos, they do that to you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so I ain't about that life. But, we're a little. I would love some more. Thank you. Yeah. This is what you call an ASSer.
ASMR.
What do you call it? ASS? It's ASS. This is ass production. Brought to you live.
Brought to you by two big booty Judies.
It's true. If I had a camera, you'd know. Thank you. So moral of the story is we are crazy, but
sexual sentient beings.
Yes, but crazy is a good thing. Kind of like, you know.
No, okay.
Crazy is not a bad word.
No. Hold on. There's like crazy.
She's touching me.
Who's like good, crazy, like. Sexual crazy. Absolutely. And then I meet women who are like, give us that reputation of, like, all women are fucking insane.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. What's the word? Like, territorial and, mm-hmm, like, aggressive. And, like, I meet those type of women all, mm-hmm, the time. And they give us a.
They do.
I don't know. That's so. No, that's it's such a true. Weird thing to say, but, like.
It's not. No, you're right.
I've encountered one of these women recently, and, like, she was letting me read her text responses with a guy, and I was like, oh my God, relax. I would never say shit like that.
Right.
Why do you care that, like, he obviously does not want to fuck with you?
Right. And you know what? And I think it's fair to say. Everybody has crazy moments like that. I know dudes that do shit like that. I know girls that do shit like that. And I think it's not fair that it's just put all on us. Because, like, everyone's like, women are emotional. Dudes, I swear, I don't give a fuck what nobody says. Men are by far the most emotional ass motherfuckers on this fucking planet.
But they take their emotions out in the most sideways way.
Yeah.
Where you have to like decode it and be like, oh, you were mad about that thing that I did like 3 weeks ago. And
but so girls are the same way too.
That's true.
We're the same. That's what I'm saying. True. We're the same way. So I don't understand why we're the ones that are labeled as crazy and emotional and unstable and psycho and all this bullshit. When it's like, no, we're just humans. Like, you know,
yes.
We're doing, men do the exact same shit.
I'm talking about the psycho dial, psycho text.
Like, men do that too.
No. I'm saying that he's obviously, I'm sure it happens both ways.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about, it's like women getting that like generalized crazy, yeah. But there's like crazy like people who are like sexual and free, and then there's crazy people who are like possessive, will call you 9 times
that's
and
not
text
okay.
you.
Well, that's what I mean by crazy. Like, I mean, like, yeah, being free and sexual and outspoken and fun. Like, that's a good crazy, and I think there's nothing like I will call myself crazy if that's
but
that
talk
definition.
About how intimidating it is. Like, fuck.
Far as what having
just like with other guys, like I just. From what I've gathered, it's so intimidating to be, like, sexy and free. Like, guys don't usually...
It's... Yeah, and it's... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, just, I was...
You're sparking... Cause,
no, say it.
I say this shit all the time. It's so fucking stupid. Men will say, oh, I want a woman that is confident and you know, she, you know, a boss bitch or whatever the fuck they want to call us, you know, a boss lady, da-da-da-da. But then when they get a woman like that, they're intimidated. They feel like they're not as good as her. They build her down to bring them up type shit. And I'm just, because I've been there. I remember when I first started doing comedy, I was dating this, well, I would say when comedy really started, like, popping off for me, I was dating this dude who was a complete fucking loser. He was working at Sprint. He had a secret child. He lived with his mom. He had a bed with no... You know, I'm not... I had some dark times in my life, but anyways, you know, he had beautiful hair. So, you know, black women, we love Hispanic people with beautiful hair. Like, you've seen Tyler Perry movies. That's just our shit. And but he was a garbage-ass dude. And I remember he would come to some of my shows, but then he stopped. And I was friends with his best friend, and his friend was like, I was like, why is he not coming to my show? I mean, I know he's a deadbeat dad, but damn, like, don't treat me like your daughter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a whole thing. But
triggered,
for real. Oh, if you are a dude that doesn't take care of your daughter, you're garbage.
But stop listening now.
Yeah. Well, no, keep listening. You'll learn something. But his friend, his friend was like, He feels like you're gonna leave him. Like, he's like, he sees your success and he feels like you're gonna leave him. I'm like, of course I'm gonna fucking leave you, but enjoy this fucking poor pussy while you can. Like, why should we, like, you know, I'm like,
you're like, I'm gonna be famous one day.
Yeah.
You'll be able to tell your daughter you fucked
a famous person. Exactly.
A famous.
You can tell people this while you're trying to get them new family plans at Sprint. Like, this is good conversation.
Don't you want wireless internet?
And they're gonna buy it if they know you fucked one of the biggest comics in the world. But yeah, that's crazy. I think, and you know what, and I think it's not fair that we're supposed to be strong and all this type of stuff and guys want that, but when we have, you know, some weakness, like, for instance, with drinking problems and drug problems and going to rehab and stuff like that, it's like, a man can go to rehab, a man can have a drug addiction, he can have a sex addiction, he can have an alcohol addiction, go to rehab, and we all love him, and he's cast in a movie. Girls, it's like, ooh, oh, you have a problem? Like, you went to rehab?
So I, like, have to say, I was, like, a little hesitant to even do... like talk on this subject because I was like, I work in the liquor, like, I don't want to talk about, but then I was like, that's the problem, that's how people think and feel, and if I can't talk about it, I can't, like, preach about other people being open and, like, honest.
Yeah. And you're a good representation is that you are not your past. Like, just because you've had that problem doesn't mean that that's going to be your problem for the rest of your life. So that's why now you're able to...
I've got, like, so many other problems.
Right. Exactly. Like, oh, you think alcohol is the biggest one? No.
Honey, have you met anxiety and depression, baby? Because she is.
For real. Absolutely. And you show that it's... I mean, yeah, you work in alcohol now and you handle yourself well, you do your job, you don't lose your mind, and I mean, it's I mean, sure, you don't want to be around
well,
things.
Well, you check yourself more often.
Absolutely.
I mean, because like when you're in treatment, it's just when I went to treatment, I went more like I didn't know what my options were when it like I went more for a therapeutic reset. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really, it was more, I was definitely using alcohol to like cope with anxiety because I wasn't on the right medications. Yeah. And I needed to just have 30 days away from my friends, away from everybody.
Yeah.
To like think about what was going on with me and think about like what I wanted to do and like what I wanted the rest of my life to look like and what I like, how I saw myself. And that was just like, that was my reasoning to go to go.
Yeah.
And that's still how I just had no idea that there were options that health insurance would cover that was just mm-hmm. like therapeutic. This was just a quick fix. I was like, oh, I can go here. It's just rehab. It's quick. Like mm-hmm. it's 30 days. I'll get therapy. I get to do yoga and lay in the sun in California. I'm fine.
Right. Well, because we're taught that mental health is not a big deal. Like we're taught that. And I mean,
well, we're taught that it's supposed to be private and yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And we're
you're crazy.
To feel,
if,
feel shame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feel shame for it.
And I think like, dude, I'm such a, honestly, I want to do any listeners. If y'all know a way to get this to be a thing, please send it to me. I am so for, mental health days at work, like people taking off mental health days. I believe that those are needed so much because I've had days where I'm like, I can't do this. Like my mind, my spirit, my soul, my body, like is fucked off. I cannot serve a grilled cheese and a PBR today. I can't do it. I just can't, you know?
I worked for a company that would let you have 2 personal days.
Wow.
A year.
Right. So you better get broken up with 1 or 2 times, bitch, and that's it. Like no more. Damn, that's terrible. That's. We and yeah, I just think
well, it's just like not what American like companies like think. I don't know. Like you always read those articles online where it's like Switzerland believes in like working only
yeah.
a third of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you're
yeah.
like, oh, man, I gotta go there.
Yeah, that's why they're all fucking happy and wealthy. No, I feel that, and I think it sucks that you know. But that's still kind of a thing. I mean, sure, you're totally entitled to your privacy and what you're comfortable with sharing and stuff like that. But I think that we need to, again, listen to each other more and be open to the fact that, hey, some of us are struggling with, you know, and if you have a mental issue like anxiety or depression, that doesn't make you crazy. That doesn't make you, like, insane. That doesn't make you, you know, now you acting on that in a negative way and shooting up a fucking school, that makes you crazy. But to start off with anxiety and depression, and that's not an issue. The issue is how you execute it. So that's why it's important to get that help before your brain takes over and you do some crazy shit, you know,
true.
Including killing people or killing yourself. But I think I feel you when you said that you wanted to go to rehab just to get away. Because I had this moment, like maybe I have very up and down, like. I've never been like completely diagnosed for it like recently. I was when I was younger, but like now I feel that I have seasonal depression. And I say that because it's just always up and down. But it's not to the point.
But that's not seasonal. Like you feel like you're always depressed during like the winter months.
Yeah. Like the summer pisses me off. No kidding.
Wait.
No. I mean like, for instance, like it's weird. Like I'll go like 2 months. I mean, like, every morning I'm waking up crying. Every morning I'm feeling like a fucking failure. Every day I feel like a piece of shit. And then I'll go a month, and I'm fine. Nothing has changed.
Do you take antidepressants?
I don't. I did. So that's what I was saying earlier. I am pro, like, oh, if you do antidepressants, that's your thing. I'm not going to judge you. Me, personally, I'm against it because I took them when I was little. Well, I wasn't too little. I was, like, 16, 17. And, the way that I am already without medication is so much that when I took the medication, it did 2 things to me. It made me feel like I was trapped in my body, and that
Dude,
fucked me up.
Then those were the wrong meds for you, because there are so many things out there and so many great doctors
yeah.
where if you talk to them about what you've taken before, what doesn't work for you, what you're looking for, you can find the right cocktail that makes you grounded and not wake up 2 months crying.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. And this is just me. I personally don't want to get on any kind of medication because, like we said, when it comes to these kind of feelings and these things, there's an unbalance in our brains. And I want to take the route of at least trying to train my brain to handle these things without medication. And then if it comes to the point to where, no, it's like, I need medication, then sure, I'm totally open for that. But I want to at least try. It's kind of like, you know, you could take weight loss pills, or you could do yoga, or you could do, you could work out. It doesn't mean the weight loss pills won't work, but, you know, sometimes you want to do the more grounded way.
You know, I think
and that's just like, you know, how I feel for myself.
I think I was lucky because I went to treatment when I was in my early 20s, and like somehow they gave me the right cocktail. And I was like, oh my God, fuck, this works for me. Like, I finally feel like a functioning human.
What do you mean? Like, so what, if you don't mind talking about, like, what were you taking and what were the effects for you? Like, how were you before and then how were you after you started taking the medication they prescribed for you?
So it was definitely like a journey for me. I was on an antidepressant the one that I was talking about earlier that I went crazy off of. I don't want to bash it because I don't want to say the name because I don't want to bash it because it could be helping somebody else.
Yeah.
But it was just the wrong thing for me. And then you know, when you go into treatment, you don't just go straight to rehab. You go to detox. Mm-hmm. So you're in a hospital for at least a week with doctors monitoring you 24/7. And you find out what you need, what works for you. And you have a month after, like, being in the hospital to figure out, is this still going to work for me as like a regular functioning human in society, or do I need something else from one of these 7 fucking doctors in this place?
I don't know. Sorry, I had to turn the fan off when I made her nervous.
That's true.
No, but you're 100% right. And it goes back to the fact of, everything is different for everyone. Every experience is different. So what was the thing that like took you to rehab? Like, what was the breaking point?
So I was bartending on Dirty Six. No offense, that's a great job.
Hey, whatever the fuck you about to say, I'm probably like true.
So my whole life was drinking while I worked, drinking while I wasn't working, mm-hmm. partying. Mm-hmm. I had like cash hand over fist. I only worked 3 days a week. That's all I had to do. Mm-hmm. And I just lost any ambition or drive. And I had always been a person that was driven before, but I've had a lot of things happen to me. My mother died when I was 13. My dad was diagnosed with cancer when I was 20, and I just had a lot of things going on in my mm-hmm. life that I couldn't control, but I could control getting fucked up all the time and getting stupid tattoos mm-hmm. and just like drinking and partying. And that was my life. And that's how everybody knew me. And at one point I just hit a breaking point, and I decided on my own, I didn't have to be interventioned or anything, but I went to my parents and I was like, look, I need to get out of Austin mm-hmm. and I need to go to treatment. I don't think I have I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me.
But you know there's a problem.
But I know that I'm like compensating for my anxiety and depression mm-hmm. with like anything I can find, which by anything I mean alcohol, because I'm a pussy when it comes to drugs. But
same.
with like, you know, anything that would make me feel better. By anything, again, I mean alcohol.
Yeah.
And it was because I wasn't on any medication at the time. And, like, I didn't have anything that made me feel good that wasn't alcohol yet. And then I was, like, guided to that path to find that balance. And, you know, here I am today, like, working in the industry still. And I'm and drinking like a normal human and I'm fine. And I also think that I just grew a lot, and maybe that a little bit of that came with age. I just was sick and tired of feeling like I was going to be a bartender for the rest of my life mm-hmm. because I had a lot higher hopes for, not that that's bad.
No, I just had
a different idea for myself.
Absolutely.
And I didn't know how to break the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just broke the cycle.
And you know what? That's exactly, it's so crazy you say this because, and yeah, no disrespect towards 6th Street, no disrespect towards Bourbon Street, no disrespect towards any main bar attraction street, but it really, and I talk about this all the time, and I want to talk about it more on the podcast and more with my stand-up, it really fucks you up because that is your life. It becomes your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is working from 8 p.m. to 3 a.m. You're drinking the entire, people are buying you shots.
You're throwing dice at the end of your shift.
Yes, exactly.
And drinking and spending
your money. You spend your money that you fucking made all night drinking. You're going out because you don't want to seem like a pussy. So you're going out with your coworkers who are drinking off. Because this is their life. They've worked down here for 20 plus fucking years.
Right.
And they're content with it. And that's fine. If that is what the fuck they want to do. But like you said,
the fact that they can handle it.
Yeah.
They don't want anything else. That's what they want.
And again, that's fine. But that's not... Yeah, it is.
One, two, three. That's fine.
Making a t-shirt coming soon, next summer. But yeah, for sure. Like, absolutely. And I will say with comedy, I have struggled. I think I have... Since I've started comedy, and I say this a lot, I'm very open about this. Since I've started comedy, I have experienced... I mean, I've always kind of gone through, like, depression, different things like that, just from, like, you know, things that have happened in my life. But, like, between doing comedy and being a bartender, I have experienced probably the darkest days of my life because both of those are my jobs. And both of those jobs involve you to drink. They involve you to either do drugs or to drink. That's just the social culture of being a bartender and being a comedian. And sure, it's totally possible to not drink. I know plenty of wonderful comedians that don't drink. And I know very few bartenders.
My brother.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, I know, well, he does other things, so there's some alternatives. But the point is, you know, there's definitely, it's possible. It's totally possible to, you know, to not engage in any drugs or alcohol. But when that's already something that's like in you to do and you've already done it and it's both things that you do that are your income.
It's your life.
It's your life. And it really...
It gets scary. It gets you off track.
I'm not going to sit here and lie and act like I haven't done things that caused me to reevaluate my life. I haven't gone to rehab as much as I would like to. I mean, I only went once.
Wait, what do you mean? Oh, you went five times?
So, no, you know what? When you fucking said that you just wanted to get away, I shit you not. I say maybe like 2-3 months ago, I remember calling my best friend crying. I remember like I went out drinking the night before and I called my best friend and what?
No.
I called my best friend crying and I told her, I was like, I need to get out of Austin. I have to go away.
I did the exact
away.
Same thing. That's to what I wanted to do. 2 months ago. And I was like, oh my God,
I'm
so depressed. And mm-hmm. I just was like, honestly, I wasn't taking my medication.
Sure. Yeah.
And I hit a point and I was like, I called my friend and I was like crying in her lap. And I was like, do I go back to rehab? Because that's what made me feel good before. And I talked to my stepmom the next day, who's like this incredible therapist. And she's not my therapist. That would be like weird. But I'm like really open with my parents now. And I told them that I was feeling that way. And they were like, the first thing my stepmom said was, well, are you taking like your medicine correctly? And I was like, no.
No, and you know what? And it's like, and that is totally. I think whatever helps you be your best is what you do. If it's going to church, if it's going to rehab, if it's just secluding yourself away from. And again, this is no dig towards Austin, but realistically, Austin is such. It's kind of like a little Vegas. It's a wonderful city. It's beautiful.
It's a black hole.
It can be at times, you know. But it's a wonderful. But yeah, like there's. Alcohol everywhere, all the time. There's drugs everywhere, all the time. And people are so happy.
Like everybody here is in the service industry.
Yeah.
And like, it's like cool to get fucked up
sure.
all the time.
On a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. Yes. And a month. Like, I'm from Houston. And in Houston, it's like, sure, of course, all that same shit definitely occurs in Houston. In every city. But the thing about Houston, the only days you party is Friday and Sunday. Friday and Saturday. Sometimes Thursday. Some places Thursday. And maybe Sunday. Maybe like a brunch thing on Sunday. But if you want to get fucked up and ruin your life, you got to do it in 48 hours, which is between Friday and Saturday. Austin, you can literally ruin your life every day of the week at any time. And that is too much freedom for a person like me, which is why when I came here, that is when I encountered some of the darkest moments of my life, because I felt like that's the culture out here. The culture is to drink. And I live right by 6th Street. I live
5 minutes away.
A 3-minute fart to fucking 6. You know what I'm saying?
You like, literally rip ass and you're there.
And I'm there. One good shit, I'm in a fucking kung fu bar or some shit, you know? And it's like being, when I first moved here, I was a new kid here. I never.
You queef and you're at Dogwood.
I queef and I'm at Dogwood. Can we?
Yes.
I come and I'm at Jackalope. Like I say Jackalope because that's where I work. I'm putting in a plug. But come to Jackalope. I'm a bartender there Thursday through Sunday. Please come and tip your bartenders. But you know what I'm saying? It's a thing.
It sounded like a medical, like an ad. I know we keep talking about medication, but you're like, if you have any allergic reaction.
Well, I need people to know I'm a professional. Okay. I'm doing this podcast in my living room with horrible acoustics, but I'm a professional. Damn it. No, this is fun. And I think that's, and you know, what's so crazy. I've talked to so many comics and bartenders that express that. They're like, dude, I hate waking up hungover every fucking morning. I hate getting blacked out drunk and not even know what the fuck I did the night before. Like, that is a scary thing.
Dude, I have to tell you, though, when I finally made it through detox and went into treatment, I looked like such a fucking pussy compared to everybody that was there. Everybody else there was like, yeah, I've been 5 years on heroin. This is
right?
They're like, this is my third time at rehab. And then like they go around a circle and it gets to me. And I'm like, sometimes I drink too much and I cry. And they're like, what the fuck?
Dude, yes. Like, I remember, so I went to rehab. Like, I guess, yeah, it was like a rehab center. Because I was on suicide watch. Some things happened. Another episode. But I went and I remember feeling just, you know, just at my lowest of my lowest of my lowest. And I remember we did, and maybe y'all did too, the counseling group shit, like where the counselor.
Fuck.
With the counselor that gave
woman.
No fucks. Yeah. They didn't give a fuck about us. They're like, I'm just here from 9 to 5 on fucking payroll. Like, I don't care about you little bitches. And I remember being in that room and I had never even talked about my feelings versus be with people that had the same issues I did. So I'm sitting in this fucking room at this round table of death with this, you know, therapist and these other women,
like,
girls.
Write it all down.
Yeah, right? Draw a picture. I'm like, bro, I'm gonna fucking stab myself with this crayon. Like, that's what the fuck is gonna happen. But they come to me and they're like, what's your problem? I'm just like, yeah, my mom's abusive. I hate my life. I want to kill myself. You know, whatever, the usual 16,
teenage,
yeah, whatever. Same, you know, my deodorant doesn't work strong enough. It's pissing me off.
I have zits.
Right, yeah, I have a pimple on my ass, like shit like that. And then these girls go, and they go to the next girl, and the girl's like, I hear voices. And then they're like, what? And the therapist goes, what do these voices tell you to do? I'm like, we investigating this shit? Like, no. And then the girl goes, I want to contact this girl if I could find her. I shit you not. She goes, they tell me to kill all of y'all. I said, bitch, I wish you would.
You're like, that's why I'm here in the motherfucking first
place. I'm here, bitch. Do it. Get me out of my misery. Save my parents money on health insurance. Like, fuck you.
Dude. Okay.
It was crazy. This bitch is crazy.
No. There was this girl I was in detox with, and she was such a, like, writhing alcoholic that she... So, you know when you walk around a hospital and there's, like, Purell dispensers everywhere? Like, hand
sanitizer? No!
Hand sanitizer? She would stick her hand, like, there would be a smoking, we didn't have those in our, like, block of the hospital, but we would
make me drink more.
But we would go outside to smoke, and we would have to be, like, ushered through the hospital where there were Purell dispensers. So she would stick her hand out under them and eat the Purell from the dispensers. And I was like, why do you do that? And she was like, man, I actually, like, when I'm not, like, before I got here, like, like Purell was my vice. Like, you don't understand, like, that kind of drunk is like a different level of drunk. And I was like, no shit, that's wild. That's like desperate. Like, oof. Can you fucking imagine?
I'm going to start stealing Purell now from the gynecologist.
Pure science.
Does that get you high? Does that get you drunk?
I never tried it, but according to her, it's a whole different level of wasted.
Yeah, like losing brain cells. I can imagine. You get a little loopy.
When you see a girl licking her hands, you ask questions.
You have to. Damn.
You have to. She was honestly one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Of course she was. She didn't give a fuck about her life. She was hilarious.
To the point where I was like, she was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And I was like, listen, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do with your life. You're going to be a stand-up comedian, and you're not going to ever write anything. You're literally just going to get on stage and do what the fuck you do here. Yeah. I don't, like, that's what you're going to do.
We start a podcast.
I was like, aspire to that, because that's, like, that's you in a nutshell. It's good for you.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was a story of how me and Anna met. I don't do Purell anymore. I will say that is what got me through any situation.
Purell got you through what?
Well, not bacteria, but no, being like funny. I wish it did, man. It saved me a lot of money on doctor visits. But I am prone to vaginal bacteria for some fucking reason. But
that's because the dirty dick.
No, even I think I'm allergic to condoms. I really do. I think I'm allergic to condoms because every time...
Someone told me that sheepskin doesn't protect you from STDs. Is that true?
I've never gotten a condom from Whole Foods, so I wouldn't know. But I feel like that's where my life is going.
No, they only sell them at Daily Juice.
Yeah. Do they have a juice line? Can I get one goat sheepskin condom with a CBD oil?
I have this bar of cacao. And a sheepskin condom.
We're making fun of Juice Link because it didn't hire me. I'm going to Jamba Juice, bitch. I love working at juice bars. If you work at a juice bar, please hire me. I love juices. But what would you say has helped? I wouldn't even say change, because I feel like this thing called life is
fucked up stories.
Okay, well, we have time for maybe one more. Okay. And then we'll do a part two episode. You guys want to hear a part two episode? Of course you fucking want to do. Keep subscribe to this shit and listen more. Tell another story, and then we'll cap up this episode.
There was this guy in treatment. So all you do in rehab is like sit around, and not all you do, but like at night you like sit around and like tell war stories. Mm-hmm. And like, so this one guy was talking about how his friend was a like alcoholic drug addict, and his friend was at this strip club, and he was talking to the stripper, and she came back to his motel room with him, and they got really fucked up. I don't know the details, but got to the point where they went to sleep and he shit the bed. No, just wait. He took the shit, he rubbed it on her ass, and then he wrote on the mirror with her lipstick, "You're disgusting. Don't ever fucking talk to me again." And left and made her think it was her to-do. To-do. Can you fucking mean that? Okay, can we have a moment of silence for that stripper? Wait, was that a bad story to tell?
Hold it. That was us taking the lid off of the mask out for that stripper. No, that was that was some shit that I think people need to hear and understand that this world is fucked up.
Don't get any ideas, you guys.
Don't. But that shit, people fucked up and things happen. And as long as you're getting help for yourself and for the things that you experience, then that's a start. Rehab, medication, meditation, church.
Cabbage soup.
Cabbage soup, if that's your shit. Turmeric.
A cacao.
I don't know what the fuck that is, but a cacao. But well, yeah, we're definitely gonna we need another episode. But we're gonna go ahead and wrap up this one. I feel good about myself. How you feel?
I'm like hot and sweaty and bothered.
So that's good. Cool. You just need to bring a. Do you have a boyfriend? Or,
oh, no, I'm single.
Oh, she's single. Because I was going to say, well, maybe your boyfriend can handle what's happening with your body right now. I know, I know, guys. My conclusion is always tequila and dick. I understand. I'm 24. I'm growing up. What do you expect from me?
I'm too nervous to have sex with strangers these days.
Same.
I don't want to talk about that.
I'd rather just do it myself. I know who I am. You talk about the fucking one. So part two is coming out soon. thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Hear Me, Bitch. You're going to love this. Okay, so I've added a new segment.
What?
Called Kitty Chronicles. And basically, it's where I give a little spiel about vaginal and sexual female health.
Okay.
So is there one thing on your mind that you feel like people don't talk about enough that involves vaginal health that needs to be talked about?
Oh my God. If you haven't had like Borax vaginal suppositories, like you need to buy them on Amazon and keep them in your life because
it's a lot of big words. Explain what that is.
It's just like a vitamin that you can like stick in your vagine that will just like clean you out.
Oh.
And if you feel like a UTI coming on or a yeast infect, I'm not a fucking doctor, so like don't take this to heart. But it
but
makes
you have a
me
vagina, so
better.
You're a hero. Go ahead and continue.
I mean, you can order them on Amazon, wherever. It's called Borax. And try to get the ones that are a vaginal suppository because they really do just clean you right up, baby.
Yeah, and that's, and you know what? And vaginas are so sensitive. Vaginas are so sensitive. You can sneeze the wrong way and get a fucking yeast infection. So
be careful with toilet seats. I mean, jeez.
Oh, I never sit on them. Never.
Really?
When I go out, I don't sit on them.
Oh my God, that's where you get all your muscles from.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah, bitch. I'm fucking straddling on 9-inch heels, fucking not trying to have my clit touch the toilet seat. You fucking right. I don't care how drunk I am. I'm not catching syphilis from fucking 6th Street. Not happening. But yeah, girls, get any vitamins. I will say I haven't. I used to take cranberry pills, and those did help. So, you know, do whatever. Oh, stop using. You know what? I'm not going to say this because they might sue me. But there's a product that women use that things.
Summer's Eve.
Shut the fuck up. I can't see it. She said it, not me. Don't use that shit.
Well, I was like playing a game show.
My vagina smelled like a fucking fish fillet at Luby's when I used that product. And I've heard so many reviews on, and this is not dissing
basically,
that product.
That product is all marketing. Use natural soap.
I didn't say the product. I didn't say the product. She did. I didn't say it. I'm just saying that I've used products. No. And I won't either because I didn't say that product. I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know what's happening anymore. Take care of your pussy. Guys, this has been another episode. You're wonderful. I'm Leah Sampson. Follow me. Again, follow me on Instagram at @OfficialLeahSampson. Twitter, @LeahAntonice_. If you want to know about more shows I'm doing locally or throughout the country, go to my Facebook page, Leah Sampson, and go to Leah Sampson Comedy on YouTube. And Anna, where can people find you?
You can follow me at @analbeads with 2 N's.
Yeah!
And an underscore at the end. And let me just spell it for you. @ANNALBEADS_. And I'm the blonde bitch.
She's the blonde bitch. That's why I call her. I love that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in another episode of Hear Me, Bitch. Please subscribe to the Yak app. I don't know again when we're going to be on iTunes or Spotify. We will be soon, but for now, make sure you download that app and subscribe and keep listening to this wonderful podcast. Thank you guys so much. Love you. Bye.